Om Shanti. So we are really happy to have Sister Diane with us this morning. She is an educational psychologist. She is also a family and marriage therapist. She is a major force behind the Living Values Project. She is the author of many of the books connected. And I think most important, she's Baba's child. And she runs, looks after the center in Seal Beach in the USA. So we would like to give her a gentle welcome with a nice wave. And we look forward to hearing on this topic.
Om Shanti. So it's lovely to see you all. The topic, as you know today, is care and well-being, understanding more about spiritual and mental health. And as I was sitting here today, I was remembering the very first class I gave on depression in 1981 in Pandavavan. And I had been talking to one brother, and I was sitting in that little place, just in the little hallway, in front of the Tower of Peace. And one brother was telling me, and I had this tear going down this cheek, a tear of love, because, you know, he had been through a lot of things. And Daddy Janky walked by, and she saw the tear. And she stopped, and she frowned at me, and she said, "You okay?" I said, "Yes, Daddy, I'm fine." She goes, "Okay." And she went on. But I ended up talking to several souls, and so we decided it would be good to give a class on depression. And so I asked Daddy if that was okay, and she said, "Okay." So I gave a class on depression, and nobody clapped. And I thought, oh, nobody liked the class. So I got off the stage, and I went to the exit door, and I was mobbed. I thought I was the only one that felt this way. So we ended up doing workshops and small group sessions, and we had a wonderful time together. So we all love feeling peaceful and joyous, and we love to feel combined with Baba and light, and, you know, it's just really magical, our spiritual journey. But as Baba says, old sanskaras will come up. And so it's helpful to have tools to deal with these old sanskaras. Because if we can deal with them in a healthy way, then we can transform them. But if we just suppress them, then we can become very miserable. And the energy of suppressing them will cause them to eat our happiness and cause problems, further problems in our life, in our relationships with others. And so I would like to share a little bit about mental health. Is that okay? So with Global Functioning, which began in 2007, one of the groups was the Care and Well-Being Group. And for that group, we had a mental health section. And so we got together and we talked a lot to the NCs and CCs, and we gave them classes on different kinds of mental illness and what people could do about it. And they asked us to write a book, you know, how to deal with certain situations and centers when they're concerned about students or themselves or whatever, how to deal with things. And so, you know, I started writing the book. And then we gave another session the next year, and they asked a question, and that question really surprised me. And they said, how can we make sure we don't become mentally ill? And I thought, interesting. And so we added another chapter. And so there is now a book. It's available at all the centers. And it's called Promoting Mental Health It's actually an on-file book, so you have to print it out. Promoting Mental Health, a Resource for Care and Well-Being. And there is 5 chapters. The first chapter is on how to take care of yourself. The second chapter is dealing with depression and people who are suicidal or have suicidal thinking. The third chapter is on serious mental illness. The fourth chapter is on personality disorders, difficult personalities. And the fifth chapter is dealing with violence and setting limits. And so, let me tell you a little bit more. The United Nations has always said that by 2020, that depression will be the biggest illness in the world. That 20% of the world population will be depressed. In general terms, in terms of statistics, about 1% of the population is psychotic. 1-2% is bipolar. And it is predicted that 1 out of every 4 people will have mental illness during their life. And so what I'd like to say is there's absolute ways to prevent this. You know, you're all here, you're all Bubba's, you know, you don't have, major psychological traumas, but there are things that can happen. And so I'd like to go through that. And so, just a question to you, what do you think causes mental illness? Do you want to pair up with someone for just 30 seconds and 60 seconds and share with each other. What do you think causes mental illness? What can cause that? Talk to each other for a few seconds. Or just think about it yourself if you're not sitting next to someone. Just thoughts off the top of your head. Give the other person a chance to think, to share. Okay, great. So what causes mental illness? What do you think? Stress? Stress can certainly cause common things such as anxiety, can't they? What else? Emotional blocks. So if we work with emotional blocks, if we have an emotional block and we don't work with it, then it can affect ourselves and it can affect our relationships. Mm-hmm. Great. There's many things. Any other things? An effect of a parent, so a child with a parent that has a mental illness, and so they don't get the nurturing they need. So, you know, some children actually die if they aren't given love. You know, a child can die within 3 months. Failure to thrive if it doesn't receive love. but certainly the security that we have in ourselves throughout life can be affected by a parent who's highly stressed and who acts negatively. There's all kinds of things that affect us. There can be abuse. There can be trauma when we're little. There can be chemical balance imbalances in the brain. So there's a huge variety of things that can affect us. And so what I'd like to do is I'd like to go into prevention, because some people are... you know, the schizophrenia can be a little bit different, because that is actually, they're thinking that there's a much more of a physiological component than in other, you know, it has to do with how the synapses work and the perceptions and the wiring being incorrect. But basically, there's your serious mental illnesses, which are... there's 3 major ones. There's psychosis. There's schizophrenia. There's bipolar disorder. There's only three major serious mental illnesses. So the schizophrenia, the bipolar disorder, so manic depression. It can be with or without psychosis. And then major depressive disorder, with or without psychosis. What psychosis is a psychosis is the lack of the ability to deal with reality. So, Belinda could say to me, Diane, why is that green man sitting next to you? And then there's another purple man next to him. And they're tapping on your head. And why are they doing that? So if Belinda was seeing that, that would be a visual hallucination. Or there may be auditory hallucinations, but they're not part of reality. So schizophrenia is a very, it's a tragedy, you know. And mostly young people are vulnerable to that. Between the ages of 16 and 26, 14, 26, young people can be very, very vulnerable. And in section 3, it outlines precautions so that you can notice the signs if someone is heading for a psychosis and they're wanting to meditate. And actually, you don't want to teach them meditation. So that's all in chapter 3. You want them to be more engaged in physical things rather than in meditation. Meditation is not bad for them, but entering into an elevated vibration can they can become looser in their thinking, and that can be dangerous. And then bipolar disorder, so extreme sadness or extreme activeness, you know, really hyper, not sleeping a lot, talking constantly, and then later on becoming depressed and alternating between them. And then major depressive disorder is different than mild, moderate, or severe clinical depression. Those are common types of depression. You know, it's not a serious mental illness. It's just a type of depression that's lasting for more than 2 weeks, where your sleep is being affected. It becomes difficult to make decisions. There's a pervasive feeling of sadness. So those are more common things that people can go in and out of. But major depressive disorder is very, very difficult, okay? And I mention that because we have had in the family, in the BK family, sometimes people developing this after a number of years. And in the cases where we've interviewed these people, it seems, you know, these lovely, beautiful souls, it seems in our perception of your mental health team, because we now have a mental health advisory group for the Yegya, for the Western countries. And so we're available for consultation to the RCs, MCs, and CCs. And we do initial consultations of people that are feeling difficulty, so we can know where to refer them. And they're in every region of the world, you know. What we found when we interviewed these people that it had become psychotic, that they were unwilling as Brahmins to recognize their own emotions that were negative. They were not willing to accept that they felt sad or they felt scared or they felt hurt. And so they were always denying them. And hence, the pressure was building up inside and it was eating away at their happiness. And, it caused some real problems. And then in the common things, not the serious mental illnesses, but the more just common everyday things are the anxiety, you know, anxiety disorders of many different types and your mild, moderate, and severe depression. So, I'm going to start by talking about physical things that you can do to prevent and to help yourself, okay? And a lot of people don't think that physical things are important. You know, they think that, okay, I'm Baba's, I'm spiritual, this is good. And when we're young, we can get away with not sleeping. When we're young, we can get away with way too much chocolate. But as you grow older, things happen. And there's recent brain research, and the brain research is showing that there's physiological reasons for the increases in depression and anxiety and dementia that are happening around the world. So what they suggest is a healthy diet. And if you're getting depressed, that includes no sugar. Do you know what no sugar means? Has anybody ever heard of that concept? Now, this is the most difficult concept I'm going to explain to you. No sugar means no sugar. Baba says, what is a soul? A soul is a soul. What does no sugar mean? No sugar. Okay. So sugar is an emotional destabilizer because it robs the B vitamins out of your body. Your B vitamins provide the protective coating for the myelin sheath around your nerves. And it affects the body in many, many ways negatively because of this robbing of the B vitamins. And so in this brain research, they're saying that a healthy diet is very important. And so a healthy diet would include a rice that doesn't have the husk removed. It may include quinoa, fresh veggies, non-GMO if possible, organic if possible. It includes fresh fruits, just a healthy diet. It includes enough water so that you're hydrated. You know, have juices if you like, but have them without sugar. Have them without preservatives. Sprouts are really wonderful. They're saying in the new brain research, or they've said this actually for a long time, that your stomach is the second brain in your body. Your first brain, your second brain. So your second brain is your stomach, and it really registers those emotions instantly, and it sends messages to the brain instantly. So they're saying, be careful with your stomach. Take digestive enzymes. If there aren't a lot of digestive enzymes available, then use sprouts. Take mung beans and sprout them. Take almonds and sprout them. Take different kinds of sprouts. Sprouts are very good for you. They give you vitamin C. They give you lots of enzymes. And these enzymes are very, very important because they help you process the food. And they help this second brain in your body work well. And also probiotics, like papayas have enzymes. Pineapples have enzymes. You know, there's really foods that are really good for you and really good for the body. So as we're talking about enzymes, I would also like to mention something else that people don't understand, and that is called no microwaves. Have you ever heard of not using the microwave? No, you haven't. Okay. Dr. Linda Rector Page is an eminent nutritionist and naturopath. And she says that the microwave is the worst thing that ever happened to the diet around the world. And the reason is that the microwave kills the enzymes in the food. So enzymes are what allows us to digest so we can receive nutrients from our food. But the enzymes also allow the body to heal. And so microwaving is like the worst thing you can do to yourself. You know, once one of the scientists that works with Dr. Emoto in Japan that did the scientific studies, he came here to Madaban once, and he came to this hall, and Daddy Janki would do Amrit Vela in this hall, and he put a glass of water in front of her. And then all the people would meditate, and it's very powerful in the morning. And then he took that water with him to Japan, and he froze it and examined it under the microwave. And let me tell you, all of you meditators, you're amazing. Because these water crystals, when they take an image of it, are so gorgeous. They are just beautiful. And they've actually looked at the crystals and taken pictures of the water crystals from all different religions. And they're all beautiful. And they're all different. But the BK one was amazing. But do you know what happens to the water crystals when you put it in a microwave? And then you take it out and you freeze it and you take a picture of it under a microscope? It is black and corrupted. It is completely harmed. The crystal does not have the integrity of a crystal. Please do not use microwaves. And don't give them to a friend. Give them to the garbage. It's really bad for you. Turn on the oven and heat it up. Okay, sorry, end of lecture. About that. I get very strong about that. So healthy diet, limit your sugar. Stevia is okay. A little bit of cane evaporated sugar is okay. Unless you're really depressed. If you're really depressed, then go off all sugar. But absolutely no sodas. Sodas have a pH like a Coca-Cola or a thumbs up. They have a pH of a 3.5. The pH scale is from 0 to 14. Your body needs to operate at 7. Really, 7.1 to 7.35 is the pH that your body should be in optimally. And so that will happen automatically if you eat healthy foods and don't microwave and eat a few sprouts. It will happen automatically. When you have an alkaline body, they say that you cannot get ill and that you have a lot less pain. You may get ill if there's a virus or really bad water or E. coli or something like that, but that your pain is much less, you know, so it's really good to know about. The other thing is oils. They're noticing a huge increase in dementia and Alzheimer's with souls around the world. And they're saying have healthy oils. Have olive oil, but make sure it's real olive oil, or avocado oil. Coconut oil is really wonderful for your memory. People that have had memory problems, and they give them a teaspoon or two of olive oil, coconut oil in the morning, their memory actually improves dramatically. I was having memory problems. It was amazing. About a year ago, and so I listened to this series of brain mini documentaries and figured out what I needed to change in my diet, and my memory has improved. I had reached a point where I couldn't remember a phone number. Now I can remember my 13-digit bank account number. Would you like to hear it? So, you know, it's very, very interesting how nutrition can affect your brain, and that affects our well-being. So they only recommended on this thing, this documentary, olive oil, coconut oil, and if you are not a vegan, then grass-fed butter, but only grass-fed. Okay. So no sodas. No artificial sweeteners, because artificial sweeteners can actually cause depression. They are, aspartame is a brain toxin. Okay. Stevia is good. Stevia is an herb. Have a little bit of honey, but don't overdo the honey. I have one a friend, a BK friend, and he believes in having at least 3 cups of honey a week. That's too much. When he saw his doctor, finally the doctor said, "What are you doing?" So, you know, honey, but in moderate amounts. You know, maple syrup is good. I'll do questions later, okay? The other thing is sleep. If you're getting a little bit older, you may need more sleep. Make sure you get enough sleep, especially if you are stressed. If you're really stressed, they say if you're really stressed, this is in Lokik Life, they say if you're really stressed, meditate a half an hour a day. No, if you're stressed, meditate a half an hour a day. If you're really stressed, meditate an hour a day. But if you're sleep deprived, we can be more. Has anybody ever noticed that they're grumpy when they're sleep deprived? Yes. Okay. So get enough sleep for yourself and everyone else around you. Exercise. Exercise is really a good thing to do. So, you know, Brahma Baba rode his bike. He played badminton. He did all kinds of things. He used to do exercises in the courtyard. He did hatha yoga exercises in the courtyard every morning. So exercise that body. It's really good. Take a walk. Enjoy nature. I have a friend and she says, the trees are curious about you. And if you are afraid, they will be curious about that energy and they will take it from you and they will lift it to the heavens. Isn't that sweet? But this communion with nature is so important and so beautiful. You know, in Golden Age, I feel that we just feel that we belong to the earth and the earth belongs to us in a very gentle way, in a very belonging way, because we feel so much part of that. So enjoy nature. Get out and walk. They say that a half an hour of walking is as good as an antidepressant. Okay? So when you're walking, you can remember Baba, you're meditating, you're integrating your body and your brain, you're having time to feel emotionally free. So it's all good. And you're preventing depression. What happens with depression is the negative thinking destabilizes and lowers a couple of critical neurotransmitters in the brain that allow for healthy functioning. And so a lot of negative thinking lowers those transmitters, and so there's not the joy. And so we miss that. So it's actually like a physiological depression. And so you can try positive thinking, you can try all these things, but you actually need to walk and also eat a really healthy diet in order to raise the serotonin levels. For example, a half a cup of brown rice will increase your serotonin levels within 20 minutes. Now, chocolate makes you feel very loved for 20 minutes because they deliberately add neurotransmitters to increase your feeling of being loved. But after 20 minutes, how do you feel? And what do you want? More chocolate. And how do you feel after you've eaten it? And then you want more. If you do that for several days, you are going to be what we call in American a basket case. Okay? But if you do it for weeks in a row, you're going to be feeling very unstable after a while, unless you're in your early 20s. If you're in your early 20s and you're really healthy and you exercise a lot and your diet is healthy, otherwise you'll be able to get away with it. But otherwise, a little bit of chocolate, like one piece. Unless you're depressed, then none. So one or two pieces, you know, sugar on Sunday, sugar on Thursday, and then Don't have it the rest of the week. Sugar is an addiction. They say that it's as addictive as cocaine. It's hard to get rid of. So it'll be hard initially, but it'll be most hard for 2 weeks. But it does affect us all mentally. I love chocolate. So I do have chocolate. But look at yourself. If I notice that I'm having too much chocolate, I get a little unstable if I have too much chocolate. So then I have to cut it back because it is a destabilizer physiologically. Okay, so that was the physical part. Now you ready for the spiritual and emotional part? Okay, spiritual and emotional. Number one, increase your spiritual and emotional energy. Positive. This we all do. But pay attention that you're really doing it. You know, enjoy Baba. Really take in the contentment. Really practice being. Churn. Take a point or two out of the Merle. Practice a special virtue. On your to-do list, put your virtue at the top of your list and being at the top of your list. You know, increase that emotional and spiritual energy. Two, decrease your negative thoughts and actions. Baba talks about a lot of these things in the Merle. Are we people that blame? Are we people that gossip? How do we talk to ourselves? So Baba says, blameless. Everyone is blameless. You know, anything that happens to us, it is especially designed for us to learn. As much as we don't like it. In Alcoholics Anonymous, they say, if it's on your plate, you ordered it. Okay. Baba says in some of the Merles, you know, that this drama is specifically designed for you. But why is it designed for us? And so this is the beauty of something that negative that happens. Or negative that we react to. If we're reacting to something that is, that we don't like, it's an opportunity. It's the storm, the typhoon that brings the gift. So the whole point of the law of karma is that Baba wants us to be complete, doesn't he? Baba wants us to be full of virtues. So, in order to be full of virtues, that's the aim, karma happens because I have this other little body conscious sanskara that is interfering. And the opposite of that sanskara is the virtue that I need. So it's not enough to just work on a negative sanskara because we don't exist in a vacuum. We have to actually imbibe the virtue. And each time we imbibe a virtue, we are learning how to not react to that situation again, and we will be freer and freer. But we are a little bit like an onion in terms of Maya. Have you ever peeled an onion before, Gyan? So before Gyan, you peel an onion. An onion is an onion. It makes us cry. So we have our Maya onion. And so with our Maya onion, we see one layer of negativity, right? And we transform it. But what happens? There's another layer. It's just terrible. And then we transform that and we think, oh, I am now karmateet. But there's another layer under that. The good news is you will eventually we will all eventually get through all the layers of the onion. But, you know, that Maya, that negativity, we have to deal with. We have to figure out what virtue we need. Like, you know, it's interesting. I never know if I should share things. But I had a very loving mother. She died this last September. And as a little girl, I couldn't have asked for a better mother. She was absolutely wonderful. I mean, she'd dance with me and, you know, we'd sing and she did exercises with us and we could build forts in the house and she and my dad took us camping and taught us all the names of the flowers and the trees and we got, you know, to do many things in life. I was very fortunate. But when my dad died, she became mentally ill a year after. So at a very late age, she had late onset of bipolar disorder with psychotic features. So, and that was caused by four things. Okay? One was the inability to deal with pain. It's late onset of bipolar disorder with psychotic features is caused by people who cannot mourn the loss of a child or a spouse. And low thyroid and hypoglycemia and inadequate diet. Okay? So emotionally, she had not in all of her life learned how to deal with pain. She did not know how to do that. But you see the diet, okay? There's also physiological. So, because we, the soul, are in a body. And so, in terms of karma, all of a sudden I had my wonderful mother become quite interesting. So for 5 years she was actively psychotic. And she would get you know, mean and angry. And I said, Baba, I have never treated people like this in all my life. How could I possibly be treated like this? And it was very interesting. I thought, okay, if this is in my drama, even though I don't recognize it as my karmas from this birth, if this is in my drama, it's because there's a lesson to learn. So what does Baba want me to learn? It's in my drama. So Baba is the director of my drama. We are Babas. So he is our director. So this is a special test. And what can I learn? And so I thought about it deeply and I thought, you know, this is an opportunity to learn how not to react at all when someone is violently angry. And not to react at all. And it was very interesting because I went down to her house and, you know, was visiting her and she was, you know, we had difficulty keeping her on her medication. So she'd be okay again and then she'd go off of her medication and then she'd, we'd get her to take it again because she'd be hospitalized and then she'd go off of it. And it takes them about 3 or 4 months to become psychotic again and then she'd get worse and worse. But we couldn't do anything. You know, because she has rights and we couldn't hospitalize her until she was unable to take care of herself. But it was interesting because one day I was down there and she became actively psychotic and I thought, you know, and I had discussed with myself, what am I going to do next time? And I thought the next time she reacts like this, I will remove myself from being abused. You know, I will hospitalize her if it's possible. But, you know, I will remove myself being abused if she's actively psychotic and very violent. But I will never get angry at her again. And it was interesting because she went into her thing and da-da-da-da. And when she was calm again, I just went into the den and I said, Mom, because I'd made a promise to myself, too, to protect myself. So I said, I'm going to leave right now. I said, but would you like anything before I leave? And she said, yes. She says, I'm watching TV now because it helps calm me down. But I'll have a half a cup of coffee and a muffin. I said, okay. So I went and made her some coffee and brought in a muffin and said, okay, Mom, here's your coffee and your muffin. And I've cleaned up the kitchen and the living room just the way you like. And I'm going now, and I love you. And I gave her a little kiss, and I went. Now, that was out. And that day, she went to the emergency room, and she said to them, I am mentally ill, and I am off my medication. And would you give me some, because I need to be on it? And she never went off her medication again. And she returned to normal before she died. So she lived 1 mile away from me. But we had returned, you know, with many, a lot of care, 99% normal. And the passing was so lovely. So everything that happens, it's an opportunity for Baba's to look deeply. What does Baba want me to learn? How can I be elevated even in this situation? You know, what can I do? And so, these things, one, increase the positive energy. Two, decrease your negative habit. Blaming is one. Gossip is another. A third is, how do we speak to ourselves? What tone of voice do you speak to yourself? Are you critical to yourself? You are becoming people in golden age. So how are you thinking? You know, Baba wants us, we'll have Jivan Mukti in golden age, but we need it here. And so to learn to speak to yourself gently, positively, to recognize your emotions when they happen. Okay. Three, I'll spend more time on this one. Accepting, managing, and dealing with your own pain. This thing of accepting your pain and accepting your feelings is important. There was a Murali, an Aviat Murali, several months ago, I think about 5 or 6 months ago. And in it, Baba was saying, when you do something that you don't like what you do, do you give yourself a hard time afterwards? Do you feel guilty? Do you punish yourself? And Baba actually said in this Murali, it's past now. Don't. Be positive with yourself. Okay? And so, if you have a negative emotion, if you deny it and suppress it, it's going to build up the energy. Have you ever been angry and you decided not to show your anger, but you were still really angry, and then you exploded afterwards? Has that ever happened to somebody? If it hasn't happened to you, raise your hand. Okay. So, you know, instead I can say, okay, I'm angry. So educate yourself. This is what we're trying to do through this lecture, through many things we're doing in the Brahman family. For example, in the True Self-Esteem course. What's under anger? Hurt? Or fear? Or shame? Or feeling unsafe? Okay. Because we're golden age souls. We want to be in control. We want everything to be the way we want it to be. And it's not. So we can get very unhappy and very angry when it's not the way we want it to be. Because we want to be in control. It makes us scared about the world. Because I can't control it. So when I get angry, oh, I'm feeling angry. Okay, anger is the secondary response. So what's under my anger? Am I afraid? Am I hurt? Did I get my feelings hurt by someone doing something or not doing something? Okay. So talk to yourself sweetly. Explore that emotion. Accept it. Name it. Lovingly accept yourself. And then look at that. okay, what caused this? When we lovingly accept our negative emotions and our positive feelings, we can learn to, this acceptance of the self is very, very important, because by learning to do this, we're accepting all of us. If we don't accept our negative emotions, then what happens is we're rejecting part of ourselves. And if we're rejecting part of ourselves, we also begin to not experience the heights of the joy of Brahman life. So if you don't accept the lows, you stop after a while, after years, going into the positives. Because this denial is eating your energy and you can't go there anymore. But if you accept them, you can learn to deal with them. And you can say, okay, so I was afraid. Okay, what can I do this with this fear? How can I get Baba to help me with this? What can I look at? What perspective can I use so I don't need to be afraid? Yeah? So talk to yourself and explore it. Baba says, go to the root. Doesn't Baba say that? Go to the root. See what the root is and deal with it at the root. And then implement the change, the virtue, the lesson, the increased faith in Baba, or the increased faith to yourself. Maybe there is low self-esteem and somebody says something and you get angry and you get hurt. And maybe you have to think, okay, I'm feeling hurt, I'm feeling like I'm not a good Brahman, I'm not a worthy soul, I'm not a good soul. Okay, but what does Baba say? Baba says, I am his beloved child. Baba says, I am a jewel. Baba says, I am a loving soul. Is Baba the ocean of truth, or was Baba lying? Or did Baba mean everybody else and just not you? That's it. Baba meant everybody else, but just not you. Right? So are you going to believe Baba? So if you find yourself thinking, I'm not okay. You know, this is something that's very, very deep, because we've learned this throughout the Copper Age and the Iron Age. But really focus on believing it. Start really meditating on it every day and having these affirmations and really believing in this, and change that, okay? And it means that even if you get hurt, you're still okay. You know, if we didn't occasionally get hurt or angry or into the vices, God wouldn't have to come. We have to give him something to do. Okay. What was that? So, accepting our emotions, managing them. Peter and I worked at revamping the True Self-Esteem course. And in there, it's being given now. This season, it was given to four different groups. It was offered to four different groups. And it's also, we're encouraging experienced BK facilitators to do it in their countries once they've taken the course. Because what it's offering is psychological tools that are adapted to Gyan. Nothing is in there that is in a disagreement with Gyan. But we want to be here, right, in terms of our consciousness. But sometimes our negative emotions cause a leak. And so it's like a leak in the bucket. And so our energy goes down. So this is about how to manage our negativity so we can learn the spiritual lesson, so we can stop the leakage of our emotional energy. Does that make sense? So, for example, one of them is to have a, we teach a spiritual thing about automatic negative thoughts. You know, an automatic negative thought is an ant. And nothing disturbs the elephant except an ant in the ear, right? So an ant can even disturb a Maharati. So if you have a reoccurring stressor, then look at your aunt. What are my negative automatic thoughts? What's my emotion? What am I attached to? And then you reframe it. So this is in the True Self-Esteem course. I look at how to reframe it so I can come up with a positive thought that's powerful enough to change my perception so that I can react to the situation differently. So the next, and then I meditate on that positive thought and that virtue. So when the situation happens again, I can plug in that and I'll have the spiritual energy to be in the state I want to be in. Does this make sense? Yeah? Okay, good. So there's many things you can do in terms of accepting, managing, and then also healing. And time is so short. But there's one thing about Brahmins, and that we're all old souls, and we all have internal pain sometimes. Do you all feel pain sometimes, emotional pain? Yes? Okay. That's because we came out of the Copper Age and we started abandoning others and abandoning, and then we got abandoned. And this pain grows over time. So it exists in us old souls, and Baba's power can heal it. But what we need to do, so when you feel this pain, a lot of people try to avoid it, or they have addictions to try to stuff it. But when you feel that pain, recognize it, but surround it with Baba's love. And if you have that pain, what one of the things you can do is when you lay down to sleep, to rest, you can actually feel it. Some people carry their pain in their throat, some in their chest, some in their solar plexus, some of them in the gut, stomach, gut. And so wherever you carry your pain, you can actually feel it. And then let Baba surround you with a cloak of love. Maybe we can do a commentary at the end about this, okay? And so you have Baba surround you with a cloak of love, and you let that love go into the body, and deeper into the body, and deeper into the body. And you'll have to do this over time. You can have Babgada sit on your bed, and you can put your bed in the subtle regions, but heal this pain. And once you heal the pain, you will stop getting so angry as much, so hurt as much, and you'll start healing it. Yeah? Does this sound okay? Okay, good. So I want to just speak about one more thing a little bit longer today. I'm sorry this, you know, it's a little bit fast here. But there's one more thing I really wanted to mention. And it's something that really affects the mental health of us all. And that is, we are affected by people around us. And we're affected by other Brahmins. And so we were thinking, you know, that to create, you know, how do we help? How do we all co-create a nurturing space in centers? How do we create nurturing, safe, sacred spaces in centers? So I just want to describe a couple of things, okay, to give you a way to look at that. Because Baba tells us all the time, he says, have manners, doesn't he? He says, be sweet. Become as sweet as Baba. He says, be like milk and sugar. You've all heard this in the Murlis, yes? Okay. So how do we do that? We do all the things I'm talking about before. And all the things that Baba tells you, of course. But there's this other thing that's very interesting. And there is this psychologist, his name was Tuckman, and he and Peck, both of them described this process that groups go into. So our center is a group. Each workshop you do is a group. Like if you do weekend workshops, you may not be aware of how much you are creating the atmosphere or how much you are affecting the center. But there's this lovely thing to understand. So Tupman and Peck, they talk about the stages of group process. You know, so the group is formed. So we first come to Brahman life and we form a group. And we're all on our very best behavior, right? And we're intoxicated, we're brand new, we're blissful, everything's good. But then with most groups, what happens is that there's a period of storming. So differences are discovered. This brother feels this way, this brother feels this way, this sister feels this way. Everybody has a different opinion. One time I was in Madhavan. This was many years ago. This was in the 80s. And we were in meditation hall. And Daddy Gulzar was there, and Daddy Ratan Mohini, and Daddy Minora. I forget who the fourth daddy was. But they were all sitting on these little gaddis in the front of the meditation hall. And one daddy said to the other daddy, they were all talking with us, and one of the daddies, she said to us and to the group, she says, this daddy and I, we both think that, in the subtle region, it's just one soul, you know? It's actually Brahma Baba and Brahma Vishnu and Shankar. And she says, and the other two daddies here, and she pointed to them, she says, they don't think that. They think it's three souls. And she says, but none of us know because Baba hasn't said yet. That was so beautiful. It was completely okay with them that there was a difference of opinion. How comfortable are we with a difference of opinion? And what happens is that when people are, they have an opinion, and you oppose them, what happens? Do they become more stuck in their opinion? Maybe? Yeah? Okay, I'm getting some nods. Okay. Once I was doing a Living Values training in Vancouver in 2003. I remember it well. And there was this one soul, and the whole group liked this one soul. He'd been with us. And then there was another soul that came in, and she'd missed the first day, and she was an hour late for the second day. And this soul came in, and she immediately, almost immediately, opposed me. So she opposed me and sort of, did she oppose me? She may have said something slightly opposing to me, but she attacked the young brother that had been there for a day and was on time the second day. And it was just interesting watching because I realized that I had to, you know, I am leading the workshop. So one of the things that's so important is to create that nurturing, safe atmosphere. So I knew very, very clearly that I knew that everyone was going to support this one brother and be against her, right? What is that going to do to my group? Not going to be good. So you see in some places cliques form, right? So these people associate with these people associate with these people, but they're not friendly between them. And so I said to her, oh, so you are approaching this from the perspective of being a mother, and you feel this way because as a mother, da-da-da-da-da, and you are seeing this as a young adult, and you have this opposite opinion because you see it as this and this and this. And, thank you both for sharing. Okay? So what happened is not only did they not have to go against her, but also the other dynamic is that some of them would want to protect me, right? But this creates an us and them. And so it's fascinating to think about what creates harmony in the group. Baba gives us so many things to say, right? And I know, like, for example, what if I'm working as an educator and I'm in a school and young adults, or I'm a parent and I'm with a child, an adolescent that is angry, and they get angry. If I get angry at them, they get more stuck and they can storm off. But if I listen to them and I can acknowledge their feelings and say, oh, you're really upset about this. You're really angry. What happens under the anger? There's the hurt and the fear, and that's where they go. And they may say, yeah, I'm really upset. But the faces change from angry to upset. Do you know what the teacher did today, Mom? You know? So they will go, if you listen, from anger into hurt or fear. And then they will eventually go into their positive samskaras. But if we oppose them, they will get more and more rigid. What does Baba say? Baba says, listen and give respect. Okay, so you really want to have this program there. Oh, and you really want to have the program there. Okay, so there's advantages of doing it this way, this and this and this. And there's advantages of doing it this way, this, this and this. Let's continue to think about it. This is going to be fun. Thus, you don't need to oppose anybody. Baba's in charge. It's going to turn out. And I remember once I was in this board meeting, and this, you know, this horrible decision was going to be made. And so I linked up to Baba, and I said, Baba, shall I open up my big mouth and say something? And Baba gave me one of those direct touches, and he said, no, child, this will never happen. So they voted on this decision I thought was terrible. It was approved, and it never happened. Nobody ever implemented. So sometimes you just check with Baba. Baba, do I need to open my big mouth or keep it zipped? The other thing, like gossip, maybe some of them are becoming opposed to one person. And maybe some of them come to you and they complain about this person and they say this and they say that. And you say, okay. So you feel that he talks too much. And you feel that da-da-da-da. You know, and I really appreciate you guys sharing, and I know that's, you know. And I know that's hard sometimes. But do you know where this brother came from? You know, do you know how much effort he makes? You know, I really admire him. You know, I've never seen anybody make as much effort as he makes. And I just start singing the praises of whoever they are gossiping about. They never gossip to me again. And I say to them, but more importantly, I say to them, how can we help him? What can we do? And we look at how we can help in a genuine way. But this is what is so important, our good feelings. And our pure feelings, our good wishes and our pure feelings for every soul. You know, Baba always says, look at other souls with Bhaktada's eyes. So when you look at a soul, what are they seeing? Are they seeing your respect for them? Are they seeing your unconditional love for them? Are they seeing this? You know, can we keep that chit clean? Can we work on ourselves enough so that even if we need to speak to someone individually to give a correction, because there does have to be the balance of law and love, can we have our attitudes so pure? Can we work on ourselves so we only approach them after we're in a healthy place? So we can give them the law with love, if that is appropriate in whatever our role is. Or that we can talk to them about our feelings. My feelings were hurt when you did this. And I'd appreciate it instead, if you could handle it this way, that next time I'd be a lot more comfortable with that, you know, and that would really help, you know. So to make ourselves okay before we talk to someone. Yeah. You know, one of the things that I've really enjoyed thinking about in Madhavan this year is equality. And I always love this image of Baba and having Baba look through our eyes at all others. And one of the most incredible things that Baba says to us is that each one of you can become equal to Baba. And sometimes I think, well, Baba's really too sweet. That's not really true. But I think, you know, Baba explains that in different muralis in terms of being equal to Brahma Baba and being equal to Shiv Baba. But the one that just really enthralls me is being equal to Shiv Baba. So what does Baba mean when he says this, be equal to me? And so how can I have those vibrations of peace that Baba has? How can I have those vibrations of love? And Baba doesn't say you need to be the most intelligent or you need to be the most gifted. He does say you need to be the sweetest. So this is what he wants all of us to do. And what are the two virtues he talks about for Golden Age? He talks about sweetness and sensibility the most often. So what right do I have to feel superior or inferior? Baba says that there are two reactions to a difficulty. He says one of them is that some souls will react with arrogance and other souls will react with being disheartened. How many of you react, I want you to raise your hands high, how many of you react more with being disheartened rather than arrogance most of the time? Please raise your hands if you feel that way. Yeah, all hands, everybody raise their hand. Okay. So it's interesting because congratulations for feeling disheartened. It's actually easier to transform. With arrogance, they have to get over being arrogant, and then they have to go into being disheartened in order to get to balance. So it's actually easier because it's interesting. If arrogance, I'm not giving enough respect to others, right? My opinion is out of balance with myself. If disheartened, I'm not giving enough respect to myself. Okay? So sometimes it's interesting to churn these things because in my yoga, you know, Baba says, be equal to me. Put yourself in the same state in order to connect with me, right? So to connect in that incorporeal state or the angelic state. Our yoga is wonderful when we're able to feel worthy, isn't it? And so this is something that's beautiful to work on with the self, the balance of humility and self-respect. But also this is something to really look at in terms of my relationships with others. Can I look at everyone with Bhavdatta's visions? You know, because I think that one of the mental health issues is this company that we give to each other. And so this is another thing that very much affects mental health. So, sweet souls, I'm going to close now because I want there to be a little bit of time for questions and because the bus leaves, so you'll need to be leaving at 12:25. I'll do a little bit of a commentary the last 5 minutes, so I'm just going to give you 6 minutes for questions, and then we'll do a commentary on something beautiful with Baba and the healing. And so, does anyone have any questions? If you do, I think Vijay Bhai is going to provide a mic. Or you can talk loudly and I can hear you from there. Oh, and just one thing. So the true self-esteem I'm recommending, there's online courses for self-compassion if you tend to be too hard on yourself. EFT, Emotional Freedom Technique. Sister Gopi has some tapping exercises that help decrease the emotion if the emotion is too strong and you want to lower it. So these are all resources. Okay, so question? Maybe come up and use the mic. The Spirit of Care retreat is also very good.
I'm Nguyen from Vietnam. So can you talk more about tea and coffee?
About what?
Tea and coffee.
Tea or coffee? Okay.
Just talk about tuga and then microwave and then
tea. Okay. Tea or coffee, don't cook it in the microwave. actually, most doctors say 2 cups of tea or coffee or a day are okay. That's what doctors say. 2 cups is okay. If you need more, if you want more than that, you're probably not getting enough sleep.
Is ghee healthy to use in cooking?
Well, the research is showing that grass-fed, well-treated, happy cows give a much higher quality of butter. So is your ghee made from those types of cows? So that would be... Also, avocado is quite nice. But for older souls, such as myself, the coconut oil, I put it in my dal and in my soups and in my rice and in my quinoa. I don't like it over my veggies. I use olive oil for that, and avocado oil is quite nice. But the ghee, you'll have to investigate the quality of the ghee. But our brain actually needs that. If you have heart problems, don't use deep fried fat. Don't deep fry foods. You know, Indians have the narrowest arteries in the world compared to other races. So you have to be very careful. You shouldn't be having a lot of sugar, and you should, because it creates very small cholesterol, and you shouldn't be having deep fried foods. If you're a heart patient, you could be allowed 1 samosa once a month, maximum. Dr. Gupta actually suggests none.
Belinda. Belinda from South Africa. Diane, you spoke about letting others speak, express themselves. But are there situations where you shouldn't actually listen, where you have to draw a line?
Setting limits is very important. For example, if you are dealing with people that are mentally ill, then it's very important to set limits. For example, we used to have come to the center one soul who was very manic. So I quickly learned that I couldn't allow her to be in the center very long. Because if she was there for over an hour, she would say, the first time she said, can I do some karma yoga? So I had her start cleaning the wooden blinds. And so after about an hour and a half, she was, just going into the state of bliss, and then all of a sudden I look out and she's set up an altar on the front porch with, tea bottles. I'm just thinking, okay, I think it may be time to go home. I'm going to be leaving shortly. And then after that I was really careful to make sure that she never stayed more than an hour. Now, this particular soul also loved to talk to me. And she was a yes butter. Have you ever met a yes butter? They ask for your advice, but they don't want to hear a thing you have to say. Yes, but I tried that. It doesn't work. Yes, but I tried that. It doesn't work. Yes, but I tried that. It doesn't work. So if it's a yes butter, or she's manic, or, you know, sometimes borderline personality disorders that can go on for 3 hours, or, you know, somebody that's manic, they can go on longer. And when my mother was in her manic stage and I had laryngitis, she says, "Oh, wonderful that you have laryngitis. I get to do all the talking." So, anyhow, not a usual mother response. But at that point in time, she wasn't herself. So, what I would advise is limits. And it's really good to have limits on yourself. You know, when you're really tired, you need to say, you need to create set limits so you can do something. But with this soul, when she would say, "I'd love to talk to you for a little bit privately," I would think to myself, how many minutes do I want to donate to her? She really doesn't want me to say anything when I talk to her. What she wants is the drishti. What she wants is the love. So how many minutes can I stay in yoga and give her good quality love and be with Baba before I feel pressured by all the other things I need to do? So I would tell her, "Sure, I'd love to talk to you. I have," and I'd name my number of minutes. Sometimes it was 20, sometimes it was 15, sometimes it was 5. Sometimes, you know, today doesn't really work for me, but I'd love to talk to you another day. So set your limits. Recognize that you have the right to set limits and that you have to take care of yourself. Yes, there's service to others, but there's service to the self. So take care of yourself and be sweet and clear about your limits and firm. I'd love to talk to you. Today doesn't work. Or I have 5 minutes. At the end of 5 minutes, say, "Okay, 5 minutes. I'm going to have to disappear. I'm going to turn into a pumpkin. I'll see you later." But keep your stage. Say, "Baba, how long can I do this with you? How long am I willing to do this?" Yeah? So yes, always feel comfortable setting appropriate limits. Be aware of what you're going through. Okay, we'll do 5 minute commentary. Yeah? Lovely to see you all. Have a wonderful, wonderful year. Om Shanti.